Ryan, Homefield Apparel has been a great partner for this 2023 football season, and we know that Gopher Athletics stretches beyond football, and they have you covered for Gopher basketball, Gopher hockey, whatever, and the gear is just great.
We swear by it by our wives. They steal it. It's so comfortable. So if you're going to a Gopher hockey game here soon, you got Gopher basketball on the mind, go to homefieldapparel.com, look at what they have, and when you get to checkout, because you'll find something you like, use the promo code GG23, that is Gopher Gridiron in the numbers, 23 at checkout, and get 15% off your first order.
Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Viewer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to the Quick Lane Bowl preview. The bowl game everybody wanted, that we stayed up until 1:45 in the morning, that fateful night, watching the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors literally walk off the Colorado State Rams on a 50-something yard field goal. What's the result? You're listening to it. The Quick Lane Bowl and the in Detroit on December the 26th. Luke, I've always talked about how much I love spending Christmas in Detroit, and here I am yet again.
Yet again, you will be making your way to the Motor City. I'm hopeful that you can get some delicious Detroit-style pizza.
Don't tempt me with a good time, Luke.
Otherwise, if you can't get some, I'll make some for you here soon. It's one of my favorite varieties of pizza out there. But yeah, 5-7 Gophers are going to take on the 7-5 Bowling Green Falcons. Probably we should touch real quick. The Gophers got this, and I know a number of people say, well, they don't deserve it. You guys, they got to fill the bowl game slots, and the Gophers academically have been really good. Why are we going to ding them for that? They have deserved and earned this opportunity to play in a bowl game. I think it's awesome.
I hate the whole they don't deserve type of argument. It's not about that. Even if you do think they deserve it versus you don't, to Luke's point, it's filling programming during the holidays. And guess what? All the people that say they don't deserve it, I won't watch. There will be, I guarantee, over 1 million people that watch this random game at 1 p.m. on ESPN the day after Christmas. And guess what? You're all going to have thoughts and opinions. You're all going to send them to me, and I appreciate that. That's how I keep a job. But miss me with the whole earned thing. It's for bowls like this versus, say, New Year's Six or college football playoff, it's very different. It's about filling programming. And even from talking with the guys last night at the Dinky Town Athletes event at the Poorhouse that I did, of which, by the way, if you're like, Ryan, where's the recruiting talk? Good thing I just recorded an hour with Alan True and all of Minnesota's Midwest signees. You can go listen to that. But it means something to these guys. From talking with Justin Wally, Craig McDonald, Jalen Logan Redding, QB1, Cole Kramer, which we'll get to, and some other guys, it means something to them. It's another opportunity to go out. And for someone like Cole Kramer, it's to fulfill a lifelong dream, and that start a game for the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, and yeah, they work a long time. It's a great opportunity for them to get to play another game. So many good storylines that we'll get into. I just want to, you know, just miss me on the whole idea of that this isn't worth it. It's such a dumb take. Okay, probably before we get into like the normal stuff, I think the other thing, you did a Dinky Town Athletes event the other night and got to interview a couple guys at the Poorhouse. Great event, I heard. I wish I could have been there, but had some family stuff. But, you know, the one thing we have been seeing a lot of this season is the fact that people want to know what the heck certain guys are making in NIL. And to that, Ryan, here's what I have to say. If you want to know what these guys are making in NIL, why don't you post what your total comp is for your job just out on Twitter for everyone to read? Or maybe you can write a manifesto on that. There's a reason people don't put this out for your regular job too, right? It's a competitive advantage thing. Why on earth is this such an area of fascination? I get that you're fans and you're entitled to this information, but miss me with it. Seriously.
I don't know if they're entitled to it. look, I understand everybody's curious. I'm curious. You are curious. But these numbers will never become public. Like the whole Cole Kramer $30,000 thing.
Can we?
Look,
can
I understand that resonated from my website. So technically, I'm the cause of all the headache.
No. It got worse because I'm going to go back. It got worse because somebody violated the terms of service of your website and pulled the information, and that person runs an aggregator website, a human aggregated website that is trying to generate clicks for themselves. Good for you, internet points, awesome, whatever. But if it doesn't violate the terms of service, like it doesn't get as big, right? And then other people pick it up because all they're doing is trying to get clicks. There's no substance to the actual article at all. It all substantiates from a message board rumor, right? From someone who said they got it on good information. This is just maybe the most ridiculous thing ever, and probably a poorer reflection of our society and journalistic integrity that exists right now. Like, I couldn't believe it. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of over it. I'll tell you, the listener, is Cole Kramer got nothing close to $30,000. My goodness. Can we just like use our brains for a second? But look, why don't these numbers become public? Because Minnesota doesn't want their competitors to know. It's going to anger potential players. Like, I mean, I've heard some things that Cole Kramer had to go above and beyond potentially to explain to his teammates that this rumor's not true. And that's how stupid this whole thing is. It's just, nothing good becomes of it unless everybody in the Big Ten has to make this public information. It's just never going to become public. And I think everybody has to accept that. And with that being said, Luke, I know DTA is running a match campaign right now.
They are running a match campaign. They're going to double up your one-time donation. They're going to four times, a generous donor is going to four times memberships. Now is definitely the time to join. There's great content. If you're not on the Discord and you're not a member, there's great content. There are great events. There is something to give back, but you do have to kind of think of it as a donation for sure. Definitely a good time to join and do that. Absolutely. The other thing, one more rant I want to get in before we get into this game, Ryan. Whew. I know I've been full of rants so far, but
I'm scared.
This is the one that really, really kind of irks me. Like, we're seeing all these numbers thrown around of like Arch Manning got $3.2 million. Well, if you look a little closer, what they've calculated is the valuation. I'm not saying he didn't get that, right? I'm not saying Bronny James didn't get whatever or whoever got whatever. There's a big difference between money in your bank account and valuations, right? And I'm not saying that they can't get them, but let's not get hung up on these valuation type numbers that are generating clicks. Because I will
just, to your point, On3 valuation NIL is about the worst thing that's happened to the NIL market because they put these absurd numbers out there. And trust me, for the last 3-4 weeks, I've heard absurd numbers and some of them are true. But like 95% of them, there's no validity to. And when you put in a valuation like that, it makes everything difficult for everyone, the collective, the player, the people around the player trying to say, well, this is what this random website says you're worth. How come you're not getting that paid? Like, that was one of the worst things to come out into this industry because none of it, because there is a little truth to, as
there's some
like
truth
most things in life, but like, goodness gracious, these players are not getting paid. Again, it's the 1% of the 1% of players that are getting paid these absurd amounts. And I wish people could even, like, just to give a Minnesota example here, okay? You look at the players that Minnesota has been able to retain. We're talking here on December the 21st, and yes, the portal's open for another couple weeks. But you've seen the number of players since we, I think, last recorded an episode come out. Justin Wally, I just talked to him last night. Darius Taylor, Ja Joyner, Daniel Jackson, Ariante Ursery, big building blocks for next year's team. That doesn't happen unless Dinky Town Athletes and the fan support has done what they've done. I think Fleck came out and said somewhere around, it was 8 or 10X, he said that Minnesota's grown in the last year, which is great. But let me also tell you, as someone who knows more about NIL than most people, they've still got a long way to go to even compete here in the Big Ten and even compete here in comparison to some of their rivals. So they've come a long way, and fans should be applauded, because that's the difficult part about NIL, Luke, is people always don't know what the ramifications and the successes are. Look at the number of players Minnesota's been able to retain because Dinkytown Athletes had a hand in it. It's not always being the highest offer, Luke. It's just being able to be in the ballpark.
Right.
And that's something that the fans have been able to do through Dinkytown Athletes. And I think that should be an example they should hold on to for that.
Yeah, no question. And the thing is like in the facility era, right? Facilities weren't always the thing that made the tip the scale. In the NIL era, NIL isn't always the thing that's going to tip the scale. For some players it is, but for others it's not. So you just have to be competitive in a number of different ways. And the University of Minnesota is competitive in a number of different ways, and some they're not. And it's not just NIL, right? So you just have to have something that you can bring to the table in terms of an offer. And the best way, you know, as a fan that you can contribute is one, either be a season ticket holder. And if, you know, distance doesn't allow that, you can be a Dinkytown Athletes member. Like, you can still support the program in a very meaningful way. You don't have to just be a season ticket holder. So I think this is a great opportunity, better than ever, to be a supporter and a contributor in a very meaningful way to kind of move that needle. So,
again, I understand everybody's curious. There's a lot of clouds of gray area around NIL, and I know people want to know, well, is my dollar actually helping? If you're looking for an example, you'll be able to see one of the focal points of next year's team. Darius Taylor in this Quick Lane Bowl, which we're about to talk about, probably be the focal point of Minnesota's offense.
Yeah, I would assume so. Okay, so let's actually, that's a good segue. Let's talk about some injuries real quick. Obviously, Darius Taylor has been one that we've monitored all season. Cody Lindenberg. But what else do we have to look at least for the Gophers from an injury perspective?
Well, maybe even more importantly, it's transfer portal and opt-out season.
Ah, good point.
So let's start on the Bowling Green side of things, where you're going to notice I don't have a ton of keys to the game. Number one, because I've spent the last 3 weeks just fully immersed in recruiting mode, which if one of my favorite parts, I think, of the month of December is every night I do a brain download onto the Gopher Illustrated message board. It's, say, today's December 21st. I would tonight write one for December 22nd. And I know people are funny, Luke. I don't know how else. I don't mean this to sound mean, but I'll get messages from people as I wake up the next morning at like 3 a.m. saying, hey, love the notes, love the recruiting insight, love your brain download. It's 3 in the morning. I'm up with my kid, and it makes it a little bit easier. And
yeah.
It's like, well, that's
I've been there. I've been there.
Like, it's been a long 3 weeks and finally got across the finish line. But what I'm essentially pointing to here is with the amount of opt-outs and guys not playing and unknowns with this game, it's tough to give a truly detailed scout here. But let's start here with Bowling Green. Their number one receiver for this game is in the transfer portal, who is a running back by the name of Teron Keith. He had 44 receptions, second leading on the team, 457 yards. He's in the portal. Someone that was also, I believe, their second leading rusher. You also look at someone like Jalen Husky, who was a first-team All-MAC corner for them. He's now going to be playing for the Maryland Terrapins next year because he hit the transfer portal. So it's tough for me to even kind of figure out what is Bowling Green going to look like, because their number one rusher, Terrion Stewart, hasn't played in 7 weeks. He missed the last month of the season. And then Scott Leffler, the head coach for Bowling Green, said yesterday he's a game time decision still. So we might be looking at a world, Luke, where the leading running back, if Stewart can't go, has a grand total of 34 carries on the season. So how does this offense change? I think Bowling Green's going to have a little bit different of an offense, or maybe an offensive approach than they used to. And then defensively, too, you're without your best corner. So how does that all look? And then on the Minnesota side of things, I'm not expecting Brevin Spanford or Tyler Newbin to play in this game. Both have accepted Senior Bowl invites. Neither have come out and said anything. That is just the assumption I'm operating under. I still don't think that you'll see either Aiden Goosby or Darius Green back at safety, which if that's the case, I think there's a world in which Kerry Brown, the true freshman from Naples, might be getting his first career start alongside Coleman Bryson, who would fill in for Newbin. I think Lindenberg will be back, but I'll tell you this much. From talking with the guys at the Dinkytown Athletes event last night, Fleck has made the comment. I don't know that people believe him, and so I asked the guys about it. I go, Fleck has said you guys don't have a scout team right now. And Craig, I think Craig McDonald grabs the mic and says, yeah, because we got so many guys injured. I don't know who all the injured walking are, but I can tell you for the Minnesota side of things, if you're going to be without Ethan because he's in the transfer portal,
yeah,
and Cole Kramer's making his first career start, you're without Brevin Spanford. As far as I know, Daniel Jackson's playing in the game. Darius Taylor, I believe, should be back for this game.
Yeah.
No Zach Evans. So it's just – it's such a smorgasbord of – I don't know who's healthy on the Minnesota side of things, but they've got a lot of guys banged up. And now it's going to be who can be able to play in this game, of which Fleck has coined, much to the chagrin of, I think, a few of our listeners, the 23rd and a half. It's year, oh, my God. Justin Garza is going to be listening to this as he's putting his kids to bed because
that's what he does.
The way it goes. And I can't remember the way Fleck has coined it, but it's like 2023 and a half because it's not quite 2024 season. The 2023 season is over with, and they've had some obviously key transfers. But it's essentially, let's get to the game and see if Bowling Green's best offensive player is playing. Let's see if Darius Taylor is healthy. But it is a smorgasbord of throw my hands to the sky with the palms up.
Yeah, definitely a lot of that. Sorry for the throat clearing there. I have had a cold, so I'm still fighting back.
That's
from
okay,
this.
John Bonus.
Oh. Okay, so I mean, we should talk a little bit of offense, a little bit of defense, and get into our predictions. We probably won't talk Big Ten, but before we do that, why don't we catch a break real quick, and then we'll get into that and wrap this preview up. Ryan, Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group has sold another home thanks to a listener of the podcast. You guys, make sure that you are spreading the word about Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group, not because just because they're giving a portion of the commission to Dinkytown athletes to be able to support Gopher Athletics, but also because they just move houses, period. Right, Ryan? So here we go. They just sold this house in the November-December timeframe, which traditionally is very hard to sell a house. So if you're making a plan to sell or buy a house in 2024, reach out to Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group.
And find them at teamdinkytown.com, or you can call them today at 612-250-8562.
All right, Ryan, I'm going to throw some stats out. I know that we kind of got to take this with a grain of salt, but it gives us an idea of what it was in the 2023 season. In this half season, Minnesota on the season averaged 20.2 points, 302 yards of total offense, 149 yards rushing, and 153 yards passing. So I'm going to just ask you, put together your best swag of what we're going to see with a Cole Kramer-led offense. I just want to add one more comment. Cole Kramer spent it's 5 years now, right?
Yep.
5 years, and he's getting his opportunity to start. If for anything, support this kid. And number one, like, I think this is just a no-win situation for the staff and for PJ Fleck. Cole's either going to be great, and they're going to be like, why the heck did you never play him? Right. Or alternatively, they're going to be like, he's going to be terrible. And they're going to say, hey, why did you pay this unsubstantiated rumored amount in NIL to make sure he stayed and played in this game, which is totally unfactual. Like, it's going to be probably nowhere in between. But for me personally, got a chance to interview him for Dinkytown Athletes, which is basically behind the interview wall there. If you're a member, go check it out. But more importantly, what a great dude. And I'm just so happy that he gets this opportunity to fulfill and live this dream.
100%. After the bowl game, he is going to be focusing on his wedding because he's getting married in the month of February, and he's going to be starting life after football. So I believe he talked about how he's going to be starting a sales job. They're going to be moving out to, I believe, Arizona. So one last hurrah. I can assure you Cole is taking this incredibly seriously, which you're going to be hearing that as a theme over the next 10, 15 minutes. What team is going to take it more seriously? It's the Quick Lane Bowl the day after Christmas. Who wants to be there? Now, I also know I brought that up to a couple of the players last night. And again, Craig McDonald was like, we all want to be there. Like, that's never a thing about you don't want to play. But I feel like I get that from a player's perspective. But then you watch some of these games and it's like, okay. Once somebody gets down 10-0, it's all right. Well, we got our bowl swag. Here we go. Let's just get out of here. But that's where I believe in the PJ Fleck era, Luke. I believe they're 4-0 in bowl games. So what is it going to look like offensively for Minnesota? We're going to see what Cole Kramer and Darius Taylor and Daniel Jackson can get done, I suppose. Would be, you'll have Jordan Newbin there, yes.
Yep.
You'll have an offensive line that has now had a month to get healthier. And I also think we're probably going to see some more Jamison Gears at tight end, see what life after Brevin Spanford looks like. Maybe some Pierce Walsh. We'll see if Lemeke Brockington and Elijah Spencer can get going. But it's about designing an offense that Cole Kramer can succeed in, which what does that look like? Considering it'll be his first career start, your guess is kind of as good as mine. I wonder if we see a little bit more read option than we normally do.
Yeah, and you got to remember that he was a Wildcat quarterback. We know he can run. We also know that he has beat out a number of guys that have transferred out too, right, Ryan? He consistently has been that backup quarterback for them. Interested to see how they get him incorporated into the passing game. And the fun thing about bowls always is that you can really see some weird wrinkles in bowl games, and I wonder if we might be able to see that. The fact that they're starting Cole might be an opportunity to put something odd on tape. I'm excited for Cole, most importantly, but an opportunity to see some of these young guys like a Jamison Gears, get more of a bigger role. I think offensively it will be really just fun to check out.
I also, in that same breath of saying, I think we might see them run the quarterback a little bit more. People also have to realize the fact that they had to go back to Cole Kramer, who was about to start life after football, because Ethan Kaliakmanis is in the portal, because Drew Vioto is now going to Eastern Michigan. They literally, figuratively, spiritually, and emotionally have one other quarterback on the roster in Max Shikanjanski, which, now that he's technically the backup quarterback, I know who every Gopher fan is going to look at me and say, how come they're not playing Shikanjanski?
Yeah.
Because everybody loves to be armchair quarterback guys. So maybe they don't run him as much. Folks, there's just not a precedent for Cole Kramer offenses and what they look like, especially we also haven't seen Darius Taylor in quite some time. So how do they revamp this thing? We'll see what Greg Harbaugh has in store.
All right, Bowling Green on the season is averaging 25.8 points, 328 yards of total offense, 142 on the ground, and 186 through the air. Ryan, I know little to nothing about Bowling Green, but it seems like their strength maybe was defensively, but they're obviously missing some guys. But they seem to want to try and run the ball, at least when you look at their total EPA. I know that they're going to be missing some of their key players, but they're number 13 in the country in EPA per play when rushing. They're also number 22 in the country in EPA per game when rushing. I think this is definitely their identity, is running the football and probably some quicker passing.
Yeah, the thing I can say confidently about the Bowling Green offense is you're going to see two quarterbacks play. One's been a four-year starter for them by the name of Connor Basilick, and the other one you're going to see mix in as more of a wildcat type of quarterback is Camden Orth. He's got 68 passing attempts, and he's got 64 carries. So when he comes in the game, especially I think in the red zone, they really like to use him. He was second on the team in rushing touchdowns with 5. When Orth is in the game, you're going to see them maybe go to a little bit more run heavy, and when Basilick is in the game, you're going to see them get to maybe throwing the ball around a little bit more. But as I talked about earlier, what does the Bowling Green offense look like if their best running back can't go in Terrion Stewart? Like I said, he hasn't played since November 1st, and their head coach called him a game time decision. If he can't go, their number two rusher, as I mentioned earlier, he's in the transfer portal. He was also their leading receiver in terms of receptions. So then you'd be going down to a guy who has 34 carries on the season and 12 games. What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? How do they tinker the offense to that? So many different things. And oh, by the way, we also haven't recorded an episode since Luke Buehr got his wish, and Joe Rossi is no longer the defensive coordinator at Minnesota. Luke, how do you feel that you pushed Joe Rossi single-handedly to Michigan State?
I feel like there's a lot of pressure on me now.
This is what you wanted. You've been asking for it for years. You got your wish.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel
and
good.
Now you're speechless. Classic Luke.
Yeah. I don't feel good, but I don't feel great, and I don't feel bad. I'm somewhere in between. In reality, Joe Rossi proved me wrong. Kudos to him. I didn't see his Kyle Flood days weren't great. They weren't terrible, but I just didn't see it. And he 100% proved me wrong. And part of that was they ran a really fundamentally sound gap scheme approach. I think this season they got away from that a little bit and relied on Tyler Newbin. And tried to, you know, give him opportunities to make plays, and he did to some extent, but also didn't to another extent. I'm interested to see who the hire will be, Ryan, but as it pertains to this specific game, I imagine they're going to try to be as fundamentally and gap sound as possible, especially with a bunch of younger guys.
Whoever is calling the bowl game, which yeah. I think is going to be Danny Collins, he's auditioning for a defensive coordinator job, which I still would be skeptical if Minnesota goes with an internal hire based on what Fleck said the other day. And if you want to read what he said the other day, go to my Twitter, go to Gopher Illustrated. I got the full quotes. I've been talking about it for 3 weeks. It's been just under 2 weeks since Rossi left about some potential names, yada, yada. But for Minnesota in this game, yes, you're going to have potentially Danny Collins calling the game. But it's get back to the normal things. Stop the run and limit explosive plays. Because if you can put Bowling Green behind the sticks, I'm staring at these Pro Football Focus grades from the Bowling Green offensive line. They're not great.
Yeah.
So if you can get them behind the sticks and you can allow Ja Joyner and these different pass rushers to get home, that's where turnovers happen. But if you're just consistently not stopping the run or allowing explosive plays like we saw for the large part of November, it's going to be a long day. So that's what I think it gets back to. Can you stop the rushing attack? Because that's what Bowling Green wants to do. And then if and when you can, we're going to need to see the defensive line show up. They didn't show up often enough in the month of November. And it'd be awfully nice for them to springboard into 2024 with a nice performance in the Quick Lane Bowl.
All right. Do you want to do the keys to the game, or should I do the keys to the game?
I would just say offensively, tailor it to whatever Cole Kramer does well. Again, we haven't seen enough of Cole Kramer in the last few years to know what that is, but tailor the offense to that. Make sure Darius Taylor and Jordan Newbin are still a focal point, and try to have some fun. Get an explosive play or two with a trick play. I'd love to see that. And then defensively for Danny Collins, if that is who is calling the bowl game, get back to what you do well in terms of stopping the run, limiting explosive plays. I have no expectations like I never do for special teams. And then it comes down to who wants to be there. I understand that it's the day after Christmas. It's not the bowl game you wanted or envisioned for yourself, maybe in the early part of October. But I think Fleck has shown a history at Minnesota that no matter what the bowl game is, he can get his team up for it, and that's why they're 4-0. So I would just say show that you want to be there, and that means bring the physicality.
Yeah, and I'll just add, keys for me are going to be, to your point of like tailoring it to Cole Kramer, just don't try to do something that you guys aren't going to be good at, right? Just tailor it to the players you have and what's there. Obviously take care of the football. Your point on just making sure that you get up and, you know, take this game seriously. It's usually whoever wants it most, right? I 100% agree with that. And then play a sound special teams game. Have your punter have a good game, and minimize the blunders there, because that can always tip the scale in a game like this.
100%. So let's get into our predictions, Mr. Buehr.
All right. So this game, Ryan, according to BetESPN, opened at a 36.5. Minnesota is a 5.5-point favorite as I see it now. It is an over-under of 39.5. Minnesota favored by 3.5. Again, this is on ESPN. It is a 1 p.m. kick, so day after Christmas. Get your snacks ready. Should be a fun game for us Gopher fans to enjoy one last one before we close out the year. So, Ryan, how do you see this one playing out?
Well, everybody here listening knows, if you are listening to this, you've been through a lot this season, and you know that I like to take a little stroll down Narrative Street, especially in bowl games. I wish I could figure out what bowl records that Minnesota's close to, because we saw in that Auburn game back in Tampa that Tyler Johnson was XYZ receiving yards and receptions away.
It was another one, like the Bowling Green game even, or not the Bowling Green game, the other Quick Lane Bowl that they did in Detroit a few years ago, they also went to him a number of times because he was going for a record of some sort, like a season record.
Minnesota loves Narrative Street themselves, especially in bowl games. Even last year, Mo Ibrahim plays in that game until he gets the rushing record.
Yep.
That's why Brevin Spanford played until he did too. So it's clear that they like Narrative Street, and we all remember back to that 2021 season as well. When Bowling Green came in here and Minnesota laid a dud, Bowling Green played well, 14-10. And I can assure you that Minnesota is reminding many of their players, if they weren't here 2 years ago, what it looks like, that Bowling Green's a pretty good team. So here's what I'll say. Minnesota gets revenge in Detroit. It's not pretty. It's not aesthetically pleasing, but I got 20-17 Minnesota.
All right. I do think Minnesota will win as well. I am really hopeful that Darius Taylor will be back and we'll see him in strong form. And we will have a number of people starting their campaign for him to be the top running back, maybe in the Big Ten. I'm hoping that he has a strong game, as well as we see Tyler Newbin mixing in as well. And I'm hoping that they can fit Darius Taylor into the pass game a little bit as well. I will pick the Gophers to win 24-21. So I will take the over on that.
So I got the under, and I think we both have Bowling Green covering.
Yeah, we do. So,
okay.
But should be fun, Ryan. A great way to cap off the season, even though it was disappointing. One more bowl game, get to see a number of players, some younger guys, a guy like Cole Kramer to get a shot as well. I'm excited for this game, excited to break it down with you and Derek. And I'm also excited to listen to that podcast you did with Alan True on National Signing Day, because frankly, I know nothing about recruiting.
You're doing the best you can. We'll be back after the bowl game. I'll be in Detroit, and I'll be looking for something that's open on Christmas night. So if you're somehow convincing your significant other, if you're going by yourself or whoever, I'll find a place for us after the game, or I'll ask around to see where Gopher fans are after the game. We'll try to find something on Christmas night. We can eat, drink, and be merry in what is coined as Luke's favorite city, Detroit.
All right. Once again, thank you guys for listening. It's been a really fun season. Thanks to Homefield and Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group. Have a happy holidays, and go Gophers.